5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I don't give a stuff about regional Victoria. I give a stuff about Bayside.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I'm worried about regional because there's a lot of pubs that need to be open.
Oh. What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M. I feel good.
Never seen Fat prepare harder for the opening of a show than he has for the last 20 minutes. So stand by Monday, of course. Oh, how good, by the way. Just beautiful it is. So spring has sprung. Yep. Damien Barrett going to join us. We can discuss all there's lots going on in footy, Fat. 1 week to go, and then we start the finals. Hello to you.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to maybe Wednesday midweek, Jim, because I think Dan might have some nice news for regional Victorians, Jim, about opening of coffee shops and hairdressers and pubs.
Fat, has it occurred to you that we are mainly listened to in the metropolitan area? So, if we got 100,000 people listening, and we'd have well beyond that, but just to put numbers on it, 100,000 people listening to our show, Fat, probably 92,000 of those are in regional, in metropolitan Victoria.
So, you're saying 92%?
Yes. So I reckon probably we're catering to that market first.
Yes. And that is a shame that things aren't opening up and you're still in lockdown. I do, because I'm a Melbourne boy at heart.
Are you?
But it is nice when you just come out here and smell the sea breeze. And it's just magnificent.
So, hey, by the way, get on board a Sea-Doo.
Mm. Or Sea-Doo.
Discover why Sea-Doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Yeah. They're looking after our show beautifully, our great friends from Sea-Doo.
Well, exactly right, Jim. They've got all sorts of stuff there, the Sea-Doo Spark, and you can enjoy your weekends again shortly with
so.
Sea-Doo.
Let's hope so. Well, what's
great
going
to
on,
see.
Please?
Great to see you. You're looking well.
Very.
And I can't say that for old Rabsy, but anyway, g'day, Ryan.
Played senior footy in the country as a 14-year-old, Sean Burke, so he doesn't mind the bodies of men against him.
Oh, no. What's the pipe rolling with?
Sharon Berg played senior footy at a young age.
Schoenberg.
Thank you, Bill. I'm just more worried about how we finished that sentence there. Pipe, what's he rolling with?
Well,
speaking of sea air, he's down at bloody Fairhaven or wherever he is. It's obviously got into his scone, our man.
Well, he does say some unusual things, Duane. He gets all excited and stuff.
I love him, by the way. Very good caller of footy, Duane Pipe. The Pipe.
Oh, well, actually, Shane. That's his name, Jim. Now, Jim, we do have a lot of footy news, but guess what? We do have a sponsor.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why Sea-Doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Yes, please.
Ooh, yes.
All
now,
right.
Sea-Doo.
Here we go.
Is spelt S-E-A-D-O-O. Jim,
thank you,
just
Bill.
For those that might be looking up Sea-Doo.
This is the opener that you've been preparing now for a good 25 minutes.
Well, there's plenty of footy news. We all know that.
We've
and Damo's coming up from headquarters up there.
That's
and he
it.
Should have seen him yesterday on the footy show, Jim. It started raining. I've never seen a bloke. He's worried about his hair because the feathers aren't good, as you know. And you could see a ball patch. Then his glasses fogged up. He was in all sorts. But a couple of big retirements from Hawthorn.
Yes.
We'll talk about. And Papley staying at Sydney.
Mm.
That's interesting. And a big game tonight, of course,
that's
with DeGoey and Treloar back. So, we'll just move on from that.
It's generic, just really didn't need to say any of that.
Well, the US Open, I've really been a fan of the US Open. And well done in the women's there was Naomi Osaka.
Oh, I love her. She's good.
She lost the first set, but then just went bang, bang, 6-3, 6-3.
Second US Open title for that fine young lady. And Australian Open, she's going beautifully.
Won the Australian Open, and remember Tony Jones was hosting the broadcast, and he asked her about how heavy the trophy was.
Chompers, that was very inappropriate.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, well done to Naomi there. And Dominic Thiem, who's a very good player, Jim.
Very good.
I saw him in the early days. I saw him in the juniors.
Did you?
He has won the US Open in 5 sets. He lost the first two, Jim.
He did.
He was down 2-6, 4-6.
Against who?
Alexander
Zverev. No, Rabbits. Who did he play in the final?
Well, hang on. I'll tell you the score.
Right. Yeah.
He's down 2-6, 4-6, and then 1-6, 4-6, 3, and 7-6 yeah. in the fifth.
Thank you. Two?
Verviv. Oh. Verviv.
Verviv.
But, well, it's a silent Z, Jim. But our man, oh, our man blew up in yes. the in the semis, Jim.
He did. He did.
Medvedev. Danny Medvedev. He blew a gasket. Have a list. This is in the semis. He's playing Dominic Thiem. He wasn't happy, and he got a code.
Yep. He gave me a code. You saw, what did I do to get a code? What did I do?
Crossing the net. You're not allowed to, Danny. You know that.
Ah, yeah, sorry. I think I killed someone, right?
No.
Sorry, I was so bad to cross the net. Sorry. My apologies. My sincere apologies to you, Sofan, for crossing the net. Oh, my God.
Not to see you as over there.
You call that dripping sarcasm.
And guess where Danny Medvedev is from, Jimmy boy?
Oh, it's not surprising when you consider where he comes from. He was never getting past the semis when he's carrying that country on his back.
Exactly right.
All right, what else, please?
Well, as I turn over the page here, Melbourne Storm, Jim, defeated the Cowboys 36-20. High-scoring game, and I don't think Bellyache was happy because of some easy tries by the Cowboys, but they have finished probably top two, but top four for the ninth time out of the last 10 years. Unbelievable. Yes. Well done,
brilliant.
Storm.
Completely brilliant, yep. And very our man, the Bellyache, of course. They're a superb organisation.
And what about our girls, Jim? The Vixens.
I saw that.
They defeated Collingwood, beat them pretty easy in the end. But they have been crowned minor premiers.
Minor premiers.
There's still two rounds to go, but they're on top and too good. And Captain Katie Maloney, she's a good girl. We've spoken to her a few times, Jim. She was outstanding.
Yes.
The cricket was no good.
No.
England only made 231.
Cruising we were. Absolutely walking it in.
So why do we collapse, Jim? Why do we have these collapses?
Yeah, I don't know. But that was poor. From the position they were in, it should have been very simple. What about the NFL?
NFL, well, Tom Brady is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jim.
Yep. Where are your Buccaneers?
On his buckethead. On his buckethead, Jim.
Oh, where is our man at? Where do you find
September
your Buccaneer?
Brownless.
Yeah. Oh, it is September Brownless. This is not what you'd normally fall right away about now.
Unlike Adelaide, aren't they good in September? They've had their three wins in September, Jim.
34-23, they went down to New Orleans. Yeah, Tom Brady, of course. Yeah. And my mob, the Browns.
Oh, what have they done?
Again, stenching it up round one. They haven't won, Rabbits, a round one game since 2004.
No.
That's 16 years.
Who else has done that?
Oh, come on.
North Melbourne.
No, well, we actually did win round one this year. Not many after that. So, again, the Browns, absolutely putrid.
Who do you follow, Ryan Warren?
Pittsburgh Steelers. Play tomorrow morning. It's the New York Giants.
Righto.
All right. Is that the end of your rap?
Well, that's all because there's a lot of football.
All right. Well, we'll get to that lot of football next with Damo.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Nice to have him on board on a Monday. Find out everything that's going on in the world of AFL. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, boys. And there's a couple of traditionally very big football clubs going through a world of hurt at the moment, aren't they? And I speak primarily, and we'll start with these two anyway, with Essendon and Hawthorn.
Well, the Hawks, some big retirements, by the way. Paul Puop and Benny Stratton.
Their captain.
Yeah, I think it had been in the offing for some time, hadn't it, Jim? And given that Stratton is into his second year as captain, it hasn't worked out as well for him as he'd wanted, and had some injuries and wasn't able to get into the team even last week. He'll be brought back for what will be his final game. And I know no one speaks more highly of him than you, Jim, in terms of the impact he's had in that very successful era. So it's always a nice situation when you get people that regarded and revered, being able to give be given their send-off game, as Paul Puopolo will as well. And interestingly enough, too, it came, the news of that anyway, came 24, 48 hours after the confirmation that Sean Burgoyne would go around for a 20th season. And while that is an absolute reason to celebrate, it is also a reason for some Hawthorn people who were subjected to some exits that they may not have necessarily wanted to be subjected to. I'm referring to, obviously, Hodge, Mitchell and Lewis. Just wondering why Burgoyne is able to go around for a 20th season and they were forced to make decisions that saw them at other clubs, which they took willingly, as we know. But clearly there's a difference in the way Burgoyne has been looked at by Hawthorn compared with what happened to those three guys.
Well, they obviously had a different time in their structure, the Hawks, than when those boys left. But clearly Clarko thinks he's going to add value to next year. He's going to play 400 games if he can manage his body, which will be an astounding thing. Benny Stratton, getting back to him, Purple, the reason I love him is because footy doesn't define what he's like as a bloke. He reminds me a bit of Matty Scarlett fat.
Scarlett, yeah.
He's just a different cat. He lives differently. He'll bugger off down to Margaret River, I reckon, in the West, and you might never hear from him again. He's that sort of dude.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But the only thing with Scarlett, he's back into the assistant coach and he loves it. But
he is too.
What he did? He just wrote that email. Didn't he? Or a fax, faxed into the club saying, I'm not playing anymore,
I'm finished.
Boys.
That'll do me.
It is interesting.
And on Stratton, just before we do leave him, there were people at Hawthorn weren't there, and I think we all had conversations with various Hawks people in that successful, and let's include 2012 with that, given they made and then lost the grand final, but particularly the winning ones in 13, 14, 15, who will tell you that there were periods of those seasons and even periods within those final series where he was, in the eyes of some key Hawthorn people, as crucial as anyone to what was going on in the big picture. And, yeah, I mean, you only need to sort of reflect upon that standing to know that he was a very, very valued member of that great team.
Just quickly, next captain, would it be a Liam Shields or a Tom Mitchell or someone like that?
Yeah, I would think Mitchell would be better placed, Bill, just the way I read it. I think Sicily in another couple of years might have been an option, but he's, of course, will be coming back from a knee injury, and I think he'll have enough problems to worry about, won't he? And look, let's face it, he may not be quite there with the maturity levels required to be in that role. So I'd be thinking a Tom Mitchell. I mean, we all know Jager Amira well enough, don't we, to know that he's got the smarts to do it, but whether he's going to be given the chance and whether he wants it's another matter too. But
Essendon,
I think he would
Purple,
certainly be equipped to do it.
Get me to the bottom of what's... Now, our man Lordo, no one wields as big a stick at Essendon than Matty Lloyd, and has he and the coach started trading blows?
Well, is he the coach, Damien, or is he... John Worsfold, are we calling him?
I think he's been checked out all year, Bill, certainly in the back half of the year. And while, he will feel he's been doing the right thing by making public statements and taking the heat off Ben Rutten, I just haven't liked what I've seen now for most of the second half of the season. And that stoush you referred to, Jim, let's just have a listen to part of what John Worsfold has been saying, which has got Lordo all worked up. And this is comments he made about the state and the standing of the Essendon Football Club in the competition.
If Essendon stick to what they're working on and what they believe in together and pull it all together, we'll see where they're at. But we haven't had the opportunity to see that, I don't think, all year. So, I understand that Essendon people think that Essendon should be better, but they've also got to understand that the competition challenges clubs now to... work to the same rules. So the same rules of the draft and the salary cap. And no one team has any more right to be successful quicker than any other team just because they're a big name club.
Well, that middle bit was interesting, Purple. What's he suggesting?
What was he saying?
Well, but even the referencing to Essendon people, he is the coach of the Essendon Football Club, and he's almost distancing himself. Now, whether he meant to do it that way or whether it was just a slip of the tongue, I don't know. But I mean, what is he saying? We know we've got a draft
to the
system,
same rules.
We've got a trade system.
Is he basically saying we didn't used to have to, but we do now?
Yeah,
well, I don't get the reference.
You could take that out of it, couldn't you? I mean, this is a club that hasn't won a final since 2004. It's blown up the best part of the 2010s through its own actions with that drug saga, and then the attempt to get itself out of it. And John Westfold was part of the project to resurrect the club. He's now been there 5 years, and it must be said, he just hasn't been able to achieve what he wanted to. He wasn't able to win a final. He's not leaving them in a better place. I don't feel either. Now, some people might look at that and think that's a bit harsh, but I don't see him leaving Essendon in a better place than what it was when he got there. And I do now feel that Ben Rutten's actually got a bigger job going into 2021 than he may have had when all the fanfare was around him when he was appointed to be the next coach back in 2019, Bill.
I think you're right, Damo. And we don't know what Ben Rutten is like because it's all been Woosher, isn't it? He hasn't had to face the media, really. So last year, boys, 2019, Essendon finished eighth, of course, played in that final, 12 wins. This year, 6.5 wins. So gone totally backwards.
Well, don't bring up 2004, Purple, because that's the last time Cleveland won a round one match in the NFL. My God, what the hell is wrong with us? I cannot speak about it anymore. We're going to a break. When we come back, we're talking positives with Purple.
For Coats Hire, Damien Barrett from sunny Queensland joins us.
I like it. Where are you starting, Positive Street, Purple?
We're starting with one of my all-time favourites, Jim. It's the big boy from West Coast, Nick Natanui, who I think has put together his best season of AFL football. The 16-minute quarters have been designed for that man. And we saw as recently as the weekend, didn't we, when that game against St Kilda between the Eagles and the Saints was in the throes of potentially going the wrong way for the Eagles, and then he just stood up and just took it over. And As we've known with him, it doesn't matter what he gets numbers-wise when it comes to kicks, marks and handballs. It's impact, and his highlights package from that game alone was as impactful as any person I feel has had on the result of a game of footy this season. And I really hope, Jim, that he does get acknowledged with another All-Australian this year, because coming back the way he has from another serious injury, there was a lot of unknown about him, and he's got through in a way that I didn't think he was going to be able to, given what he has already been subjected to with that body of his.
Enough games to be all Australia. He's missed a bit of footy, hasn't he? Well, am I imagining that?
No, yeah, he's missed a couple here and there, but just a couple of random ones, I feel. I think he's done enough. And if you look at the two ruckmen who, in consecutive years, both got into the All-Australians in Gawn and Grundy, I don't see them having had All-Australian years. There was a period of time, I think, when Witts was going okay.
Goldstein as well, although his last month's been ordinary, but he had a very good first half.
His last month's tailed off, and he's also a ruckman of a club that's won one game in the past 13. So, I know that shouldn't be held against him personally, but I just feel Nick Natanui has had a better year than him anyway, Jim. So I hope he is rewarded with it.
I wonder how many Brownlow three votes he might get, because in the Herald Sun, and Jim, you're right, he hasn't played a lot of games, Lachie Neal out in front, Travis Boak is second in the Herald Sun, Nick Nat is third in the voting, so he might get it.
Is he that high up, is he? Yeah.
Third.
Won't want this Purple, but we've got to put Richmond into the positives because they did an awful number on Fats Mob, who were going beautifully coming into that game.
Number one seed they are for me.
Richard. Yeah, they did. They did. And he's only just missed the two games. I've just checked there, guys. So he's got enough games, yep. I think, to be rewarded with it. Yeah, they shut him down, didn't they, Jim? And it was on the back of what they did in the back line. I mean, Dylan Grimes might have had the best game of an already very, very good career. They were able to withstand the loss during the game of the big man in your man, Jim, Ivan Soldo, and also Tom Lynch went down. But they've just got this attitude and view that one guy goes down, another one comes in, either within the game itself or the next week. And Marvio Chol will come in to replace Soldo. Yeah, they'll configure a forward line without Lynch for this last game and maybe even a final or two beyond that. But I'd expect them to at least finish top four again, which means they're into a prelim final stage. And you're right, I think they worried. Had a quick chat to Gary Ablett, Bill, when he was up here the other day, and he's going to be put into that game, into that last round straight away. And I think the timing around it wasn't by way of a plan, but I think the way he's been held back, and he just now knows that he's got to get through potentially four more games of his career, and that means they win a prelim final for that fourth game to be the grand final. It just might be the perfect send-off for him. So there's the slight positive out of what was a very ordinary game, as you pointed out, Jim.
No, they were fantastic, Richmond. Don't worry about that. But it is interesting at Geelong. Selwood's got to come back. Ablett come back. You'd think Gary Rowan comes back and Reece Stanley. So there's four. replacements late in the year. I'll tell you what I did like. Very good positive, Damien. Bryce Gibbs won his game and how well he played. Well done. But carried off by two players from the opposition. I don't reckon we've ever seen that before in our lives, have we?
No, and it was a special moment, wasn't it? And you could just see sometimes those moments where the players are carried off, they're a bit contrived. There was nothing contrived about that, was it? And I think, unfortunately for Bryce, while he had 3 years at Adelaide, it just has not worked for him. And you could almost sort of sense his regret in that same moment of celebration. And that's the way the world works. He got 3 more years out of his career at Adelaide. It didn't work. But look, he had 11 years at the Blues before that. And those two guys, Bill, were amongst his best mates in Cade Simpson and particularly Mark Murphy, who... Yeah. Like him, was also a number one draft pick. Just want to give the Crows, while we're talking positive, some leg up here, because what they've done in the past 3 weeks with wins against Hawthorn initially, then GWS and then Carlton, they could even get themselves off the bottom of the ladder in a weird way, given they were winless after the first 13 games. And we touched on them last week ever so briefly, didn't we? But there's something to like about what they're doing. And the two Crouch boys we've talked about for many years at the Crows, they're up and running again. They're fit again. There's still some doubt about where Brad's going to be next year. But Rory Sloane's back and tough again. And those kids in Scholl and Schoenberg and even Elliot Himmelberg, who's been around for a little bit, they're starting to show some genuine form, aren't they? And I really like how they've held themselves together and been able to keep going. Fremantle's also in that case too. They've now managed to get themselves into a 7-win situation. Just did a number on North Melbourne. We'll touch on them in the negatives. They're going well, aren't they? Caleb Sarong, I would think, was going to be ringing the rising star, and they're nowhere near as reliant on Nat Fyfe and Michael Walters as they have been for 3 or 4 years. And Western Bulldogs getting the job done against Hawthorn. You got the sense they wanted to win by more for the percentage reasons about the configurations but in the eight. But at the same time, they did what they had to do. And they've lost Toby McLean throughout it, but Caleb Daniel was once again very, very
all
good
right,
in that
Purple.
Win.
Well, we get to the negatives next because there are a few kicking around our competition, it's fair to say.
It's a rush hour, Triple M. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and for Coates Hire, we are joined by Damien Barrett.
All right, now we're heading down negatives. We've been positive, now we're going down negative street. Purple, where are you starting?
Yeah, well, we touched on Essendon a few moments ago, and they certainly still, to me anyway, headline the negative list out of round 17, and it's been coming for some weeks prior to this moment. I would still respectfully have an announcement made before round 18, before next weekend, that John Worsfold's time is up. And again, you can do that as a footy club because he's not going to be there next year. Just say, thank you, John. You gave us your best. It didn't quite work out, but we need to start now. And they're already making decisions on list. We saw Michael Hurley missing and also Carl Hooker dropped on the weekend, and I think there's some decisions to be made about how that backline looks next year as well as what they need to do. But I'm pretty big on them needing to go to the draft, which they just haven't done for some time. And I know you're big on that, Jim, given what they gave up for Dylan Shieldy, bring him in. And so I think they probably had the negatives out of the round. I think Carlton has only just escaped that status because they've, again, to me anyway, been quite disappointing. Only 7 wins on the season. We keep hearing pledges and promises that we're on the right track and we've turned the corner and we're going to be there. But yet again, they gave themselves a chance this year to make finals and they've fallen ultimately quite short of it. And I think they're a one-dimensional footy team, and I'm not sure David Teague is convincing enough to me to think that they're going to be on the right track even next year. And I think 12 months and or even 18 months on now, Bill, from his appointment as coach of Carlton, I still don't think they've taken the necessary and the ground they needed to make in that time frame.
They did look like it, didn't they, early in the year? But I reckon you're right, Damo, here. Last year they had 7 wins, finished 16th, of course. This year they've had 7 wins. So they haven't improved. You're spot on there, Damo.
Well, I put them in the Gold Coast category. Gold Coast started to look like they were going to provide us with some joy too, and have both clubs, for whatever reason, have just completely hit the wall.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have. And to me, it's more damning on Carlton, given that they couldn't have spruced themselves more than that club has over a number of years now. And when you make the decision to move Brenton Bolton on because you believe internally that you are there and the only reason you weren't progressing was because of him, well, it hasn't worked. Their problems are deeper. The real surprise to me in the past month has been GWS, and I was staggered, and I'm still yet to be convinced not to be staggered by the omission of Stephen Cornelio on the weekend. Now, I know that people within that club are saying that, that he wasn't performing the role they wanted him to perform. But as a first-year captain, I feel to wait until the second last round of the year to make a statement against the biggest man with the biggest profile in your club as captain, I felt it was the wrong call. And even, Bill, when you do make that call and then you don't win the game of footy against the team you're meant to, i.e. Melbourne this week and the weekend just gone, I don't know where it leaves them. You can't bring him back in now, and you then need to follow through with making some hard decisions on other people, which I think means that Jeremy Cameron has his status for this week's game in some question.
Well, he did say that after the game,
didn't he? Do you say it that way too?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate, because I think he said that after the game. He said there's going to be some more big calls this week, and you would think it'd be Jeremy Cameron. So that is a huge call. I tell you what, they probably would have done with him, Coniglio, with about 4 minutes to go, just throw him in the centre and just have some involvement, you would have thought. But big calls, it seems like years ago they beat Collingwood in that prelim, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah, when they went into that game without the suspended Toby Green and also Coniglio not playing a role at all in the final series last year. But they're not even a shadow of that team now, are they? They are just they're out of that shadow. That's how far they have fallen. No matter what happens with this final round machinations of football, for them to lose that game to Melbourne and for them to be in the lethargic state coming off a grand final year, it's a worry. And obviously they've had a situation where they'd committed publicly to Leon Cameron some time ago, and they'll follow through with that and already have followed through with that. But I think it's a really dicey period for him and that football club now that they are into, what is it now, 10 years of AFL life.
Right, we're going to get to the bus in just a sec. You spoke about the wooden spoon. I think 6 percentage points North Melbourne are advanced of Adelaide, and they both have games you're highly unlikely to win. West Coast will beat North, and you suspect Richmond will beat Adelaide. So it might, and they'd have to be a very tight win, a loss, and a very big loss for that percentage to be made up. But both of them, if you're lining both of them up at the minute, Purple, North have won one of their last 14 games.
Yeah, and the Crows, as we touched on a few moments ago, have won their past three. Yeah. So if you're buying stocks, you know where the money's going to go. Well, and just to watch the slump of North Melbourne, Jim, it's I think you've led the way in many ways in just highlighting to our listeners anyway what's your worries about that footy club. And it's all come, unfortunately, for North supporters to fruition in the past three months.
We spoke about this the other day. The worry for me is North Melbourne, the back half of last year, beat 5 of the teams in the top 8 with the same list. The only person who was there last year and isn't there now is Scott Thompson, who was obviously a terrific footballer and he's retired. But other than that, Purple, every other player that was involved in those wins last year is still at the club. So they're the questions you've got to ask, is what's happened? You know, how has this group fallen so far?
Yeah, you do. And you then go to half time of the match against Fremantle, and Rhys Shaw had clearly given a pre-match commitment to be interviewed at half time. And to watch him just trot out some words, which I don't know what they mean, when he said we need to put the overalls on, I don't think that's what North had as a problem. I think they needed to do something more than put the overalls on, whatever that's meant to mean. And then you see him post-match refer to the fact that we're just not good enough. And this is a team that he said publicly as far back as round two, when they went 2 wins, 0 losses to open the season, would not just or make finals, but potentially win one or two. So for him to now be saying that narrative only 3 months later is indicative of how far that club has slumped under his watch. And it's a worry for him, given the decision that they made to get rid of Brad Scott after round 10 last year.
All right. So the buses, we know you've got, are you sending any more anywhere else other than where they're already parked?
They're already parked at Essendon and North Melbourne, and have been already. We're sending one up the Hume to GWS.
Oh, bus.
Wow.
The bus is going out to Homebush.
All right, Purple, now
over the
Saturday we've got the rub, and I have my mail's been extraordinary. So I suggest as far out as Monday, Fat, that people listen, because what I'm hearing that's happened in the hub up there, with a media, I won't say a senior media figure, but a media figure, is some of the more extraordinary behaviour I've ever heard of.
Not a swimming coach,
Purple,
no.
So just stand by for my interrogation of you on Saturday.
if I ever find out who it is that's been giving you the information, Jim, I'm going to speak to that person.
I am telling you right now, I can't get better mail.
Come on, Damo.
And this one takes the whole thing into an area I just can't believe. I still can't believe, to be honest.
It's not Steve-O again, is it?
No, well, I've had it confirmed it's not Steve-O, and thank God it's not when you find out what it is. All right, nice to see you, Purple.
Well, off air, tell me what it is, can you?
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Billy.
Hey, Fat, before you get to the joke, I need to thank Billy Barton, a great mate of Ducks, actually, who runs a superb Mexican restaurant called South of the Wall. Cremorne Street in Cremorne.
Oh, I got this
in Richmond.
Beautiful. Magnificent food. So I'd heard about it. I had a date night Friday with my beautiful better half. So I ordered the date night pack, which is this humongous box turns up. It's got like margaritas and stuff in it. But the food, rabbits.
Unreal. The fish tacos there are amazing.
I'm telling you, Fat. South of the Wall. But we should all do this anyway. You support your local restaurants because they're trying their hardest to stay open and until the lockdown finishes and they can open back up properly. But I strongly recommend you check out southofthewall.com.au, I reckon
it is.
Matty Perry's the chef there. He's a superstar. Order the date night pack, you and the bride. It was superb.
Stops at the precinct.
In Cremorne, actually, but south of the Wall. I might do that. Get the date pack. Fat. Just me and
date pack. No, I recommend it strongly. South of the Wall, beautiful food. All right. Yeah, now, tomorrow, we are giving away a truck.
No.
Well, all right. We're probably not giving the full truck away. We're going to tell you how you can win a truck, if you don't mind, Fat.
Jeez.
So that's already great reasons to listen to our show, but that's a bigger one.
A fair income like truck.
A proper truck. We're going to give you the details as to how you can win a truck. Big show coming up tomorrow. Enjoy Collingwood Rabbits, you will.
Yes,
and the Gold Coast tonight from the Gabba. But Fat, something on a Monday to make us laugh.
No.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
We got a guest tomorrow, Jim.
Yep, to be confirmed. That's his name.
TBC.
TBC is
Toby
his name.
Confirmed.
Yeah. Never call us again, Toby.
Never call us again. Jimmy.
Yes.
Why can't dinosaurs clap their hands?
Why?
Because they're dead. Could they've been dead for 2,000 years, you dickhead?
No. It's more than
2,000. JC was wandering around 2,000 years ago.
Was he?
What the hell are you on about? 2,000.
All right, then, 5,000 years ago.
No, even longer than that, I think you'll find.
Well, how do you know? You were there, were you?
No, I wasn't there, but I think we know the dinosaurs were a little earlier than that.
I don't know about that. I'm going to look it up for tomorrow's show. At 2BC. Good show. Good show for a Monday.
Woo! 66 million years ago.
I think I'm still alive 2,000 years ago.
66 million.